very briefly, and I can only be briefly, because my friend and colleague has done such a wonderful job. Had a round of applause for him. Practically speaking, hearing him speak, my hair was standing on end. But look, the last six chapters are wonderful. The first six chapters are wonderful. The middle six chapters are wonderful. It's all wonderful. Just reciting. Lord Shiva says to Parvati, just reciting the entire Bhagavad Gita delivers generation after generation after generation of your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and his grandmother, and all his friends as well. And beyond them, so many generations. It's actually incalculable. The full recitation of Bhagavad Gita, there are so many stories, so many accounts. And you've done it. So it is wonderful. The Gita is wonderful. You are wonderful. The results are wonderful. But let me just summarize, just so you remain wonderful. Krishna, after explaining to Arjuna analytically, he comes back in a circle, and he comes back and explains the same thing but in a different way. In fact, you'll notice all through the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is explaining sometimes the same thing twice or three times, and he's explaining in a different way. So he goes out and he argues with Arjuna in a different way, and he comes back and he says the same thing but in a different way. Sometimes Krishna says practically the same verses in different places because it's a conversation. If I'm trying to convince you, sir, you on the front row, if I'm trying to convince you of something, I may use one reasoning, I may follow it up with another argument. You know? Then I may go to another argument, then I may come back to the first argument, and I say, so, if you do this, it will be like this. I've already said, but let me tell you another way. So Arjuna is on the receiving end of all these really, Krishna is convincing him. And Krishna is trying to convince you of something. You don't stand a chance. Our prayer to Krishna at the end of this Bhagavad Gita recitation is, my dear Lord, please convince me as you convinced your friend. Please convince me. Please allow me to be your friend. Allow me to be always convinced that the sacred conversation that I have witnessed with my very own ears becomes transformed into a vision in my heart, which becomes transformed into my daily activities. Let this conversation, this holy conversation that I've heard, become translated into my relationships with my friends and family and my colleagues. Yes, we must never lose sight of the fact that we are in a prison. It's usually about this time when my knees go from something, you know, rather attractive. I have attractive knees. They're rather nice. And sometimes I look at my knees and I think, what did I do in my last life to get such nice knees? But at the end of the Bhagavad Gita recitation, either it's philosophy or it's just sheer pain, I become convinced that the body is a prison. And it is designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to give me pain. Every inch of this body is to give me pain. And the older I get, strangely, I become convinced that the body is becoming increasingly useless and increasingly painful. So when I read this sacred conversation, the older I get, the more convinced I become. So keep coming every year, because it'll make more and more and more sense. And believe me, when you get to 80, you know, God himself will show you. So it is a prison. We have to get out. There are the three modes of material nature, and they are in competition. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. They're competing every day. The food you eat, the music you listen to, the conversation you, and emails you read, the internet visits you make, television programs, everything, posters that you see, everything. You are being bombarded constantly. We live in an age where information, the information that you would gain in 1 year in the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now being given to you in a week. Whether it's posters, magazines, television news, now you can find out that some disaster has occurred in some part of the world just seconds later. Practically speaking, we have become like Sanjaya. Seeing things all over the world, you can't cope. My dear friends, please, you cannot cope with news 24. You cannot cope. We do not need that much news. We do not need that much information. Telephones going off all the time. You have to give yourself space. Arjuna gave himself space. He had a busy life. He was the leader of an army. He was the best warrior. He gave himself time to think. So in our day, we have to carve out a time to think. Each of us has 24 hours. Arjuna had 24 hours. Not that he had more time. Okay, some of his friends were a little bit more philosophical than others. But he gave himself time on a very, very busy day to take time and sit and listen and ask questions. We also have to do that on a daily basis so that Bhagavad Gita enters our heart on a daily basis. If we don't do this, then the world continues to get worse because the world is in the mode of passion and it is affecting everybody. Every single one of you has been affected by the financial crisis that started with the three gates leading to hell. What are they? Lust, greed, and anger. Now, sometimes you can look at that and you think that's abstract philosophy, but no. Because of greedy people, lusty people, and ultimately people who are unsatisfied, who became angry, someone pushed over the domino that has now affected every single thing that we do. Our mortgage, our pension, everything in this world is being affected by these people who are in ignorance of the three gates leading to hell. And their decisions are affecting others' decisions, are affecting others' decisions, are affecting others, and we're just right at the end of the chain. So Bhagavad Gita, to understand Bhagavad Gita, is nothing less than the salvation of the world. And that's not a huge claim. People all over the world need Bhagavad Gita if we are to be saved from the decisions which we don't take, but which others are taking. So let us help Sattva-guna to arise. Be very careful what foods you eat, what messages you listen to, what music, your friends, everything, Krishna says. Choose everything very carefully. And ultimately, above and beyond everything, choose me. Because I've got nothing to do with the three modes of material nature at all. I'm not anything to do with this. And ultimately, after many, 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 many lifetimes, all the time, you've just wanted the ultimate happiness, and the ultimate happiness comes from me. And even if you want Brahman, you should understand that I am the basis of Brahman. In fact, I'm everything. So come to me, and I will give you everything. Whatever we do is based on what we consider to be most valuable. I was on a train just coming up from London a few days ago, and there was two gentlemen. I don't think they were completely in the mode of Sattva-guna. They'd had a few drinks, and I don't think the drink was fruit juice. They'd been to a football match, and their team had lost. Oh, isn't it a shame? Yes. But as we were talking, I was dressed like this, and he said, well, so what do you do? And I explained a little bit, and I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a plumber, and he's a carpenter, and on the weekend, we're mad after football. I said, so really, you could say that football is your religion. He said, yes. And he became very enthusiastic. He said, football is our religion. I said, and when you sing to your team, don't you? I said, like me, you see these, this is my team, team of Vishnu. Team of Krishna. And say, you wear your colors and I wear mine. You say, well, no, it's not very colored, is it? No. But I said, so whatever we value the most, we value it because we conceive that it's going to give us the greatest happiness. And that's religion. When you join together with other people to look at, sing about, learn about, and watch the thing that you consider to be most valuable, that's religion. Is religion dangerous? Yes, if you support the wrong team. If you support the right team, as Krishna has described himself, he's part of a wonderful team in the spiritual world. He's filled with liberated souls. If you support that team and you want to go there and you sing about it, talk about it with your friends, wear the colors, and just meditate on it, then you move in that direction. But it's much more charitable to be a devotee of Krishna. I said to this gentleman, and you'll see why I'm explaining the story. I said, so how much does it cost to go to a football match these days? And he explained the price, and it was quite expensive. A lot more than it cost when I was a child, going to watch Plymouth Argyle. And he said, well, we have season tickets. And he was very proud. I'm a season ticket holder. I said, so that must give you privileges to go and meet all the football players. He said, no. He said, I've never met even one of them. The closest I've ever got was the exhaust fumes from their car as they sped away from the ground. I said, well, in my team, we get to meet on a daily basis all these persons. I said, if you chant Hare Krishna, I said, you can meet Krishna on a daily basis. And Krishna will be your best friend. And he will never be speeding away on his chariot away from you, but he'll always be coming towards you. He said, all right, I'll come to your place. He said, I just live locally, so I'll come sometime. So what we value, what we put on an altar, what we worship, let that be the thing that can give us the greatest benefit. And in this summary of all instructions, Krishna says, just surrender to me. Everything I've told you, you've listened to it, that's very good, but just now surrender unto me. Abandon all varieties of religion. Krishna doesn't mean give up different world religions, because when Krishna spoke this, there was no Islam, there was no Christianity, there was no Buddhism. There were no other religions to give up, but he would give up karma, give up jnana, and give up meditating on any other thing that is giving you short-term happiness, and just surrender to me. How do we surrender to Krishna? We accept everything that's favorable for loving Krishna. We reject anything from our life that's unfavorable for loving Krishna. We think of Krishna as our supreme friend, our maintainer, our protector. We give everything that we have to him, or at least we train ourselves to do that. And we, whatever Krishna gives, whatever little pleasures, internal spiritual pleasure that Krishna gives, we remain always humble. Because Lord Ramachandra said that humility is the key to the gate of Vaikuntha. If you have this, the gates of Vaikuntha will swing open for you. And this wonderful sacred conversation is to help us to always remain humble and always understand ourselves that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.